haven't been up here in a little while. We'll see how it goes. I only have 12 pages, so we should be out early. Just kidding. I write big. Lisa texted me and she said, "Do you have a lot going on next weekend?" I said, "No, why?" She gets me every time like that. No, that's all right. I did have some things on my heart and some things that I shared in the teen class last week. And I'll share that with you guys today. We're coming into youth camp season, which is a lot. And, youth camp gets me every time. You know, because there's a lot of busyness to youth camp. You know, there's a lot of stuff that has to be done beforehand and during and, you know, after. And there's all that busyness of stuff. But what I've kind of learned over the past few years, I won't say a lot of years because it's only been the last few that I've come to do this, is that, man, it's so busy, but it's so worth it and it's so rewarding. And, you know, the idea that kids are willing to travel halfway across the country to get here still blows my mind every day. You know, we have a group of 23 flying in from Texas. You ever flown with a group of people and then it's a group of teenagers? it's, you know, it has to be the desire of your heart to be here to do that, right? To be willing to do that, or even to drive them for a few hours to get here. You know, some of my favorite memories with our youth group here is when we go on trips. But, you know, that's, you know, my thing is always that I'm very aware that I have other people's precious cargo in that vehicle with me. It always makes me a little nervous. And, you know, there's nothing that'll touch my heart more than coming down the road and coming across another youth group that their van broke down or they've got a flat tire or something, and I'm, oh, bless them, Lord. Help them, Lord. But, you know, that's memories that that are made, and thank God everyone's safe and all of those things. That's just my heart for the kids and for what we do here. Bless your heart, Chuck. Thank you for the fans, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. it's an amazing thing to be part of youth ministry in any capacity. I mean, if you can come out here, if it's just a day or an evening or a morning, whatever you can do to come out here to be part of this, for any amount of time that you can do it, it's worth it just to see the transformation that we do here when we turn our buildings into dorms, and we, you know, our church gets crazy, and you know, there's a lot of worshiping the Lord and a lot of tears shed, and it's a lot of lives changed and all of those things. And so I don't make little of any of those things, but so we're going into this year, and our theme this year is based on the movie The Greatest Showman. And I don't know how many of you in the room have seen the movie yet, but I watched it 3 times now. But it touched my heart for a lot of different reasons. You know, at the very core of it, the reason it touches my heart is just the idea that there is a dream by one man to bring together people of all kinds of different talents to go out and to make people happy. I think there's a lot to be said for that. I think there's a lot to be said for our own desire to bring joy to other people's lives. I think there's a lot to be said for recognizing the talents in other people. And you know what? You may not do things just like me, and that's okay. And it's okay that I don't do things just like you. And so I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, and then there's singing and all kinds of things like that, which I love, which that's my thing. Sean, not so much. Not much on the singing. But I love it, you know. But, you know, I just think it's a great story and really touched me. But what really got me in that was there's a song in the movie called This Is Me. And, you know, it's basically just about this group of people who are different and don't look like everybody around them. And they have different talents. And other people may think that they're weird or whatever. But at the end of the day, they recognize that they have a talent that they have been given. And they embrace it. You know, and so they say in the movie, "This is me." And I thought about, you know, different things that are just happening in our world, where, you know, we kind of have this idea that instead of lifting each other up, once we recognize that we have some issues in common, you know, that we have some problems, that we've been through some things, instead of lifting each other up in that, we tend to commiserate with each other a little bit too long. And so I think it's important for us to understand that, yeah, you're going through things just like I'm going through things. And that's okay. And let's talk about that for a minute, okay? But then let's move on, because we're not the things that happen to us, right? Okay? So this is me. Okay, but now what does that mean? What does the Lord have for me? Because let's get past all the stuff that happened to us. Now let's talk about what the Lord has for us. Because I think that's what this generation needs. That's what we all need. We need to recognize what God has for each of us, that he's called each of us for a specific purpose in our lives. So my first scripture today is 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. I'm getting excited and I'm losing my breath. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 3. Yep. So this divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Though he has given us this very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to say to that is you are called to be effective and productive. I think sometimes we get caught up in the idea that we're a mess. We're just a mess. We're just got all kinds of stuff going on. We're just, you know, our life's a mess. God bless this mess. We make T-shirts up that say it. You know, but I think it's really important for us to understand that God has called us to be effective and productive in this life that we live. And so how do we do that? Our very first step in that, it says, is let's add to your faith. Our faith is where we start, right? We start with our salvation. We start with the recognizing of what God did for us on the cross with Jesus, right? That's what we do first. But onto that faith, there are some other things that come, right? And so how we can look at that, and when I first started looking at this, you know, because I'm a big proponent of the saying, with great power comes great responsibility. From Spider-Man, you know, and I believe that with my whole heart, because I do believe that we have a responsibility to do the things in our lives that God's called us to do. But I think sometimes what happens is that we get so caught up in the obligation of being responsible for some things that we forget sometimes that it's up to him to perform those things in us. And the only thing he needs from us is obedience, right? He just needs us to show up and say, Lord, here I am. I'm your cup. Fill me up, right? So that's all he needs is obedience from us to show up with those talents and those abilities that we have in our lives. So Philippians 1:6, this is our camp scripture this year. I'm going to read that one out of the message. Okay, I'm going to read that out of the NIV, actually. I don't think I gave it to you. Oh, there it is. All right. She's my hero. So, I'll read it to you in the NIV first, and then we'll go to that one. 1:6. It says, being confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. So he began the work in you at your faith, at your salvation, right? That's the beginning of the work, right? But he will then perform it going forward, right? It says he will perform it. So the Message Bible says that there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that God, who started this great work in you, would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Jesus Christ appears, right? So on the very day that Jesus Christ appears, that's not something far off in the future. That's inside of you right now. Because when you experienced your salvation, God entered your body, or he was already there. He came alive in your body, and you then became aware of it, right? You then found out that he lives in you, right? So because that started, then he's able to perform it until the day of Christ. Okay. So let's go forward here. So then back to our 2 Peter scripture, the very first thing that's mentioned is goodness. So we talked a little bit about the Greatest Showman. You know, you have a man who had a dream. And one of my favorite parts in that movie is when he's trying to build this dream. He's trying to build this great thing to make people happy, you know, except for he keeps trying to do it with fake things. He keeps trying to make things that make people happy, but they're just statues. It's like going to a wax museum. It looks like the thing that you're looking at, but really it's just fake. It's just a wax figure, right? And his little girl says to him, Dad, you need to make some things alive in your museum. You need to liven it up a little bit, Dad. And click in his head, he's thinking, oh, well, she's right about that. So that's, you know, he went on to then start looking for all these people, you know, with these talents and these abilities. So I think sometimes we come to God with our stuff. We have our talents and our abilities. We even have our faults. We have our good personality traits. We have leadership skills, and we have all of these things that we come to God with. And we think he needs all of that stuff to further his kingdom. But really, he doesn't need any of your stuff to further his kingdom. What he needs is our obedience to show up so that he can perform it through us, right? So our willingness to let him show off sometimes. So what if instead of adding to our faith our own abilities, our own goodness, our own, you know, real leadership skills, and our, you know, we have good, strong, you know, we've got all of these talents and things. What if instead of that, instead of adding to our faith our ability to be good at whatever, he wants us to see his goodness in those things. So what if we let God be good to us? What if we let God be good to us? You know, and then when he does, what if we told everybody we knew? What if we shouted it from the rooftops that he's good? Right? You know, in our world, we like to debate things, you know, just beat it to death. We like to debate all kinds of different things, right? But what if we just talked more about the goodness of God instead of arguing about all of these points that really he doesn't care about, right? So one of my favorite songs right now is, and it's a little bit older now, but it's called King of My Heart. But the chorus just says this: you are good, good, oh good. I love that. But the first verse, it says, let the king of my heart be the mountain that I climb, the fountain I drink from, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, he is my song. So see, there's some mountains that need to be climbed, okay? He's calling us to do that. He just needs our obedience, right? There's a fountain, there's a source in him that he's calling us to drink from. He just needs us to drink from it, right? He just needs obedience there. See, to be in his shadow, we have to be willing to follow him into some things that might look a little dark and scary, right? Sometimes we get fearful, you know. And I found myself talking a lot about fear lately. And I don't even know that it's necessarily because I'm too super fearful of anything right now. But I think that in the world that we live in, we fear a lot of different things. I think we fear. Fear is a good thing. I mean, we have that inside of us because we have that fight or flight response, you know, that was born inside of us as a way for us to respond to danger, right? But there's fear of things in our lives. You know, sometimes we have a fear of success. Oh my gosh, what does success look like? Success is a lot of things. Success is it's responsibility sometimes. Success, you know, you have to be responsible for your success. Success or fear, you know, fear and failure. You know, so we're scared to fail, so we don't try. That's the silliest thing, right? You know, we say that outside of our situation and say, oh, I would never do that. That's just silly. You have to at least try, right? But when you're in the midst of it, it's harder, right? So we have to be willing to follow him into some things that he's called us to that may look a little dark and scary because we're called to hide in his shadow, right? See, there's a ransom for my life. You know, a ransom, you know, somebody who you didn't belong to took you, and he came along and bought you back, paid the price in full, and now you are free. What does freedom look like to you? We have a sign downstairs in the team room that we did a little while back that says, if you could not fail, what would you try? And so we made it. It's a yellow brick road, and we put bricks on it, and they all wrote some things in there that they could try if they knew they couldn't fail. And I have to tell you, if you go down there and look at that, I'd venture to say 95% of the bricks on that thing we made up, they've already done this year. Because when you start thinking about the fact that you can't fail, when you realize God is on your side, that he is for you, you know you can't fail, right? And so they did all of those things because that's what they just switched that switch in their head that was like, oh, well, if I can't fail, then I'm just going to try it. I'll just try it. And then God was faithful to each one of them that wrote something on that board down there that they were able to accomplish something that they didn't try before, right? So maybe we need to do that for ourselves. You know, maybe we need to put a little note on our fridge. Maybe we need to put it on our mirror in our bathroom in the morning. We need to remember that we're set up for success, not set up for failure. You know, we think there's people in this world who think that the world's kind of set up as just a conspiracy against them. Oh, well, that went wrong, and that's just because that's what happens to me, right? You know? But we have to switch our mindsets. We have to get a new perspective. We have to look at it from another area so that we can see the whole picture. And we have to try it because that's what he's called us to do. You know, what's the point of being free and your ransom being paid if you don't actually live your life when you're free, right? It's like being told that you can come out from your captor but not leaving. You're just staying there. Don't do that. Get away. Do what he's called you to do. Let me put this up here. I got too much stuff. I'm not fancy like Pastor Lisa with the iPad. You know, knowledge is the next on the list. I think it's important that we grow in knowledge and what we know about God in our lives. I don't think that we can ever fully understand our identity in Christ if we don't read our Bible. And I think, you know, to a lot of people, that's like, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't even know where to start, right? You know, that's where we kind of look at sometimes. You know, I don't know what to read, or I don't understand what I'm reading. But read your Bible in whatever capacity makes sense to you. You know, it doesn't matter if you listen to it. Read a chapter a day. Do the Bible plans on your phones. Everybody has a phone. They have the Bible app. You can just do a plan on your Bible app and just read what's in there. That they put out there for you every day. You know, if you like devotionals, if you like to have that time every day that you can commit to reading and understanding more about his word, it will always benefit you to do that, because hiding his word in your heart is one of the biggest weapons that we have in our arsenal when it comes to dealing with things that happen to us in life. Because if you hide that word in your heart, you'll be surprised how you pull it out when you need it. You'll say a scripture, or you'll think of a scripture when you're going through a hard time, and you'll think, oh, where'd that come from? Well, that was just kind of tucked away, you know, from a time that you read it or a time that you heard it or something like that. But you'd be surprised in those things that that you can feed off of when you're going through going through times in your life that are hard. Self-control is on the list. Hate it when that's on the list. Self-control's tough, right? No one likes it. No one likes the sound of it, because we think it means something that it doesn't. We think it means, oh, well, now I'm stifled. I've been put in a box, you know. I'll tell one thing that really is a pet peeve of mine is if someone tells me to do something when I was already going to do it. Hate that. he doesn't see what's inside my brain, right? We have to realize that sometimes. But man, I'll go to do something and why don't you go over there and do that? Ugh, hate that. Because we want to be in control of ourself, you know, and we'll pick on Sean doing it, but it's not just him. It's, you know, everybody. But that's one of those things where we think self-control is just a limitation to us. Oh, well, if I have self-control, then I don't get to do what I want. If I have self-control, I don't get to do the fun thing or whatever that is. But, you know, to me, self-control, the idea of controlling ourselves, you know, it feels stifling to some of us, but what if what he wants is for me to decrease so that he can increase, right? So that's the desire of my heart, to be less of me and more of him when it comes down to it. I want more of him because I trust him to know what's good for me way beyond what I think's good for me, right? Because I know that he knows the desires of my heart. You know, he knows the desires of what it is that we want. He knows what's good for us. What he has for us is better than what we might imagine for ourselves, right? So what if I let him become more and I become less? That's self-control. That's being in a situation and being able to say, Lord, I don't know what is happening here, but I have no control over this situation. There is nothing I can do to change it or stop it. So I am giving that to you. What if we did that every day? What if we didn't wait until we were in a catastrophe before we said, God, take control of this situation? You know, what if we realized that if we're on a ship and it's floating out in the sea, what if the captain only came out when you hit rough waters? That isn't how that works, right? The captain sails the ship all the time in the calm and the rough seas, right? So that's right, Jim? So, yeah, so what's that? Always responsible, right? So what if we let him drive the ship all the time? What if we come to the realization that he's responsible for me all the time? Oh, well, I had a good day, so I must have been being good today, and the Lord loves me today, but I had a bad day today. Well, Lord, please help me, come save me from myself. No, what if every day we said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the good day. Thank you for the things that you have planted in me. Thank you for allowing those things to grow and for me to be a witness of you in the encounters that I have in my life every day, right? Skipped ahead. Okay. So, you know, I want my responses to be less about my own emotions or my mood of the day, and more of what he wants to say in my life. Because sometimes our responses come out of life experiences. They come out of things that we've encountered in our life. You know, our experiences mold our thinking. But I don't ever want my experiences to hinder what God has for me, you know? So I don't ever want my own fear or my own lack of ability to hinder what God has for me. So starting in Hebrews 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the Message Bible says it a little bit differently, and I love it. So it says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all the veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. That's okay. That's all right. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. You ever feel like you need a little adrenaline shot into your soul? You know, it is well with my soul. Sometimes we need to get excited. Sometimes we need to remember everything he did for us. It says it, make a list, go through it line by line. Remember what he did for us. So see, we live in a world that reminds us a lot of all of our flaws. You know, we're flawed human beings. And that's true to an extent. But somehow, I don't know how it happens. We're all okay with the fact that, okay, we're not perfect. But then somehow the world tends to make us even feel worse about it. Makes us feel like we have to be all things to all people all the time, right? You know, I don't know if I'm the only one that feels like that. Some days, you know, you feel like you're never enough. You feel like you never say the right thing, or you never do the right thing, or you get caught up in all the stuff that you did. And we let it affect what we're doing going forward, right? But, you know, what I think we have to do in those moments is remember what he did for us. Remember the fact that he knew we weren't perfect, right? That's why we needed a Savior, right? That's why Jesus came and died for us, because we're perfect because he is perfect, right? That's how that happened. But what we are is called to a purpose for him. And so while we may not be perfect human beings all the time, I mean, most of the time, you know, might probably. Just kidding. But you know, even if we're flawed and we have these things that, you know, we messed up, we did the wrong thing, you know, don't hang yourself over it. Let's go forward, move on. Because there's far greater things that God has for each of us that are way past what we did, you know, and what we've done in the past, you know. So I think, you know, one of the biggest lies that I think that we believe is that we are not capable of accomplishing great things in our lives. For some reason, we believe we're not productive and we're not effective, or that we don't have the ability to be productive or effective. And when I say great things, I don't mean that, you know, these things that you think about, you know, inventing a vaccine that cures a disease or whatever. And I think those things are great things, and I think we're certainly called to do those things. But what if we're called to be things that maybe we don't see as great sometimes? Maybe we're called to be good friends to one another. What if you're called to be a good parent to your children? What if you're called to be that shoulder that people can cry on when they're having a hard time? What if you're called, Sherry, to let a 15-year-old kid come and stay in your house all the time? And she's a mess, the kid is. She comes and, you know, she tries to get you to let her stay home from school. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in Sherry's house when I was a teenager because she let me. She let me come there and be who I was. But she's tricky because she would drop little nuggets on me, you know. She'd tell me who I was in Christ. She'd tell me what I was called to be. She'd show me what someone is supposed to do, right? And I started to think, as I got a little older, that life that I see modeled is something that I want. I want a house where you come into and things aren't always a mess and everybody's mad. And, you know, it's so tense all the time, right? And so we have to seek out those people in our lives that model the life that we want. Because if we don't see other people living it, then we'll believe that it doesn't exist, right? So, you know, we have to surround ourselves with those people who can help us through those times. And so if you don't have somebody that you know that you can surround yourself with, that lifts you up, that builds you up, that helps you through the struggles in your life, you have to seek that person out. You have to find those people so that you can be strengthened. Because if not, you'll believe the lie that it doesn't exist. You'll believe that your life has to stay the way that it was always, or the life that you saw modeled growing up, right? So it says right there, when you find yourself flagging faith, go over the story again. Remember who you are. Don't forget to stop and enjoy his wonder. We get so busy doing stuff, right? You know, we get busy just with normal everyday life. You know, by the time you know, if you're working, you get up, you go to work, you do your work all day, you come home, you take care of your family, you do what you need to do, and if you have any other stuff going on, then that just adds to the list of things. We just get busy, right? So we get busy that we forget to appreciate the reverent wonder of God. And that word that I read in the first scripture, godliness, the Message Bible calls it reverent wonder. To me, when I think about being reverent, that just means that I am taking a minute to reflect on what's happening around me. It's kind of why I like those Christmas candlelight Christmas services. you know, that we do and that I've been to at other churches, because it's very reverent. I like that because it gives me a time that's quiet, that I can think about what it is that has happened, what it is that we're doing. So when I think about reverent wonder, it just means to me that I'm just actually taking a minute to think about the wonder of God. I'm not very good at that. Is anybody else really good at, like, smelling the roses kind of thing? If you are, I want you to talk to me after this. Because I'd like to get better at it. I'm not very good at that. But I would like to get better. Enjoying the moment. So take a minute from the good work that you're doing to appreciate God's handiwork. Psalm 66 and 5. It says, take a good look at God's wonder. They'll take your breath away. We all need that sometimes. We need moments that take our breath away. Nothing's more refreshing than getting caught up in his wonder. You know, you think about it, you know, when you see, like, scenery, amazing scenery, right? You're traveling out west and you see a sunset or the Grand Canyon. You know, that's what we think about with wander, right? That's what I kind of think about when I first think about it. But, you know, what if we just looked around at the people that are around us and we look at the wonder that God's done in the lives of the people around us, right? You know, what if we look at that little baby back there crawling on the floor? She's probably going to stand up in a minute. She's 9 months old and she's walking. That's wonder to me. That's pretty cool. You know, so there's things that we can encounter in our everyday lives that we can say, huh, that was pretty cool, God. You know, show me something like that again. You know, I've found that if I ask God to show me something, he'll show me something. I asked him one time to show me something different, and he did. Yeah, that we won't go into that story right now. But you know, if you ask God to show you something, he's faithful to do it. You know, there have just been different situations in my life where I've asked God to show me some things. And when he does, I'm like, huh, isn't that amazing? That amazes me that the God of the universe that gave you breath, that created the world that we're on, took a second to do something for you. That's wonderful, right? So, I mean, take a minute to have that reverent wonder of what God has for you and enjoy that moment. I don't think there's anything more refreshing than that. Mutual affection is what the NIV calls it. But friendship, love for one another. Take the time to appreciate each other and spend time with people that build you up. That's what I was talking about a couple minutes ago. Surround yourself with people who lift you up and that who you can lift up. You know, we all have people in our lives that after you spend a little bit of time with them, you're just wore out. It's just tiring. Because those people, we're trying to be good friends to those people, but those people just aren't necessarily in a position to be good friends to us, right? That person's not in a position to lift us up like we may need it, right? And that's okay because we all go through those times in our lives. But what we have to realize is that while that may happen, we don't constantly want to be in that position, do we? We don't constantly want to be in the position where, you know, we go to hang out with our friends and we come back home more worn out and stressed and have more anxiety than what we had before we got there, right? Because what happens is that as, you know, the people that we are, we end up taking on other people's burdens, don't we? We start to bear a yoke that is not ours, right? We take on those things and it makes us heavy and tired and exhausted from that. And there are times in our lives where I think we can be that person for people around us when they're having a hard time and they're struggling. But I think it's even more important to surround yourself with those people who will lift you up, who will build you up, who will help you grow in character and grow in your relationship with God. So that you have that time every once in a while. Because if not, you just get weary. So we have to surround ourselves with people who build us up. And we have to be a person to the people around us that we build them up. right? You know, we have, you know, there's certain friends that we go to for certain things. In the area of work that I'm in, you know, I know that there's friends that I have within the business that if I need certain things, I'm going to call certain people. If I'm having a bad day and I just need somebody to pat me on the back, tell me everything's going to be okay, I'm going to call certain people. If I need somebody who's going to kick me in the pants and get me motivated, I'm going to call somebody different than that. And you don't want to mix those two people up. Because if you just need somebody to pat you on the back and tell you everything's going to be okay, don't call the person who is your kick in the pants person. Because you'll just get frustrated on that phone call. Because it isn't what you need in that moment, right? So different people and we serve different purposes at different times, you know. And we're all called into this same walk. We're all called into this work that God has brought us to at the same time. So who's to say we're not meant to build each other up while we do it, right? And to work together to do it. So Ecclesiastes 4 and 12 says a threefold cord is not easily broken. But the message says it like this: be yourself, or by yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped, right? Can you round up a third? We need to take the responsibility of surrounding ourselves with those people. We need to round up the people that are going to support us. We need to be deliberate about our friendships. We need to surround ourselves with those three or those five. You know, five good friends, I think, will get you through about anything in life. You know, and I've learned to appreciate my friends more and more over the past few years. And so just to kind of close it up today, I did pretty good on time. Pretty impressed. So to close it up today, the last thing on the list is love. And that doesn't surprise me about God at all. Because at the end of the day, our greatest calling in life is to love each other. You know, and love, you know, looks different in different situations. But we don't give love enough credit. I don't think we realize sometimes how powerful it is just to show love to somebody else. Pastor Lisa says that love will make you do crazy things. And that's true. So when love is acted on, it's not just a feeling, but it's love in motion. You know, love is a feeling, but overall, love is an action. Love is something you do. You know, if you just have love as a feeling, it makes you feel good, but doesn't necessarily do anything for anybody. Love in motion is what we're called to. So, you know, when love is acted on, it's not just a feeling, it's love in motion. It can heal. It can meet you exactly where you are. And it can bring you out of a dry place. So my last scripture, it's Psalms 107, 4 through 9. Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live. Half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. Then in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He poured great draughts of water down parched throats. The starved and the hungry got plenty to eat. So that's what the love of God does. The love of God gives you a drink when you're thirsty. It lifts you up when you're tired. It makes the weary not weary anymore. It takes the burden off the shoulders of people who are carrying heaviness. That's what the love of God does. That's love in motion. That's not just a feeling. You know, a drink of water is not just a feeling. If you're really thirsty and somebody just tells you about water, does that help? No, it doesn't help. But a drink of water helps. So it's love in motion. See, what if, though, I like this scripture. What if, though, instead of calling out to God in just the nick of time, what if we lived in a place where our feet stayed on the wonderful road? What if we lived in a place where we knew our dependence relied on him? We knew that he would help us in times of trouble. What if we stayed on the wonderful road all the time? And sometimes we think that's hard because what happens is we just forget. We start doing stuff. We just forget who we are. So I believe in a Savior God, a God who rescues, a God who picks me up and dusts me off. He sends me on my way. But I also believe in a God of provision, a God that guards my heart, a keeping God. He keeps me on the right path. He keeps me in the areas of my thoughts and my dreams. He keeps me focused on the life that he has for me. That's a keeping God. See, I think that's the difference between the mentality that we have, a God who rescues, which he does. I absolutely believe that. But what if we turned our focus on a God who just rescues us like a superhero flying in at the nick of time to save us? But what if we thought God was a keeping God, that he kept us through situations, that he provided provision before we knew we needed it, right? What if we knew our healing came from him before we needed healed, right? What if instead of only running to God in moments of desperation, we lived in a place where we never felt desperate, right? I want to live in a place where I don't feel desperate. Right? There's times where I do feel desperate, and those times when I feel desperate are the times that I can look back and think, it's because I wasn't tuning in to what it was that God had for me in my life. I forgot who I was. I got wrapped up in other things, right? So he's a keeping God. When I remember all that I find that I see moved in goodness, let's see, I got my words all mixed up. So he keeps me focused on the life that he has for me. When I remember who I actually am, that's when I find that his goodness is shown to me more and more, and I realize it. We have to be more deliberate in our walk with God every day, so that we can see what it is, the work that he has for us to do, you know? So I find the more that I tap into him, I hunger more for knowledge of him. Self-control isn't as hard. I have the perseverance to run the race that's been set before me. I think more on godliness or the reverent wonder, where I see him in more areas of my life. You know, we took the kids bowling last Sunday for a local benefit. But when we got done bowling, we drove them out to Kekapin State Park, and they played on the playground out of Kekapin State Park. That's wonder to me, to be able to let them just unwind. See, sometimes we forget teenagers are stressed too. To watch a bunch of teenagers be able to let off some steam on a playground, that's wonder. Because they've had a rough year too. We've had a rough year. So those little things will help us to find God's wonder more in just our everyday lives. I have a better relationship with my friends, and I am a better friend to them when I'm tapped into what God has for me. And in my responses, they come from a place of love and not frustration or angst or any of those things. I'm always kind of surprised when I'm in those times where, you know, I feel as though I'm tapped into what God has for me. I'm surprised in my responses to the things that I encounter, because the things still happen whether I'm doing what I'm supposed to do or not. So my response is the thing that I can control. That's the only thing that we can control. So it's important for us to focus on our responses to it. So I find that I respond better in those times. And that just comes from just being tapped into to what God has for you. And all of those things come from doing exactly those few things that are listed there in 2 Peter 1:5. Add on to your faith. Your salvation is there. It's given. But on top of that, he has so many other things for you. And just to close up, you know, we kind of talk about it like it's a cruise ship. You buy your ticket for the cruise ship, right? You get on the cruise ship, and once you're on that boat, everything's done. Everything's already paid for, right? So the ticket was already paid for you. And you get on there, and there's a buffet of things that God has for you in life, okay? So take advantage of those things that God has called for you, called you to in your life. But that's all that I have today.